NRA's position reminds me of negotiating with the Iranians or the communists.
Huh?
Reminds me of negotiating with the communists.
I prefer the word progressive. I consider myself a modern progressive.
Together.
Radio.
Underground. We have audio, no video.
Radio Free Vida.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, the safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots all across the Fruited Plains and occupied territory, and those of you who are making your way to the Redoubt, the safe haven. And I hope you guys had a great week. We've got several things we're going to cover, and also tonight we are going to be doing a Partisan Radio Volume 22. There's a couple things I want to share with you and a couple of announcements. Some good stuff there and some resources that we want to point you to help you get your comms up. Coming up here in just a little bit. Well, right after Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you guys for tuning in yesterday also on the American Christian Network and ACN, where we're broadcasting across the eastern Washington, northeast Oregon, and north Idaho areas on AM and FM, multiple stations and multiple frequencies on the AM and FM dial. Had a return of that glitch with that white noise coming up in the background. And I think we actually identified it this time, and we're going to be doing some testing this week. So it did it in a few places, and it's rather annoying and distracting. But, well, you know, this technology stuff, there's always something to learn. And you learn as you go. And this is technology, darn it, right? It's great stuff when it's working right. Okay, don't forget, you can visit us, Radio Free Redoubt, at facebook.com. And you can also go back and listen to our archived podcasts by going to radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. And those are all listed over there. From our commercial radio broadcasts every Saturday from 11 to noon Pacific time, and also our Sunday evening podcasts are both uploaded to the same place. You can subscribe to that on iTunes. And that's one of the things we need to do for Partisan Radio also, to get that available to you guys. It was a very easy process before, and that's not the same now. So got to jump through all kinds of hoops to try to get that going. But I know several of you have asked, so we are going to work on that. All right. Now, we've got several things we're going to cover. Some of it's going to be a continuation of what we were talking about yesterday, and some of it's going to be tied in new information. Some stuff you guys have already heard, some things that we need to keep reiterating, and then there's going to be some new information as well. We are going to talk about this gun issue, the Second Amendment issue, we're going to talk about why that doesn't matter. And that's what tonight's show is going to be titled. It doesn't matter. It was going to be, because I spoke with several folks, and you know, I try to keep my spirits up, and I always want to have an encouraging message and point things out, and things look pretty dismal for our country, but there's also a silver lining. While there might be, things might look bad, but there's also opportunities that are provided. And the way our country is going, I see, like many of you, a collapsing of our system might give us that opportunity we need, that reset, that without a reset, we're not going to be able to set things right again. They're just so far deteriorated, right? But every now and then, I get into a slump. I keep it to myself, but it's usually when there are several events going on and they get a low turnout, rallies for, you know, very important issues that people just don't care enough about to participate in or get involved in, or the right people don't get involved in. It's not important to them or whatever it is. And you start to lose hope. And then you talk to other people who see how things are deteriorating in our country. And here's the consensus at times. It comes in waves. And that is, I don't mean to be crass, but we're screwed. I mean, that's what I hear from people. And sometimes I catch myself, we're screwed, right? But then I snap out of it. And I think, you know, they're going after the Second Amendment rights. Doesn't matter. The Supreme Court's about ready to rule this or that. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for certain reasons. I'm going to talk about that tonight. So instead of titling tonight's show, We're Screwed, it doesn't matter. We'll talk about why. But first, let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding, with all 10 audiobooks out. And great story, great story. Now we're going to start off right off the bat with the Thanks Obama category. There's several that are reporting on this, but as many of you guys know, CNN, I think they're the ones that broke this. We'll give them credit. Why not? Doesn't matter. Iran has successfully test-fired a new precision-guided long-range missile, state-run media reported on Sunday today in the very early morning hours while most of you were getting your beauty sleep. The Imad Pillar surface-to-surface missile, designed and built by Iranian experts, probably with the help of North Korea and Russia, is the country's first long-range missile that can be precision guided until it reaches its target. Right at the time when we helped broker a deal, thanks Obama, to let them have nuclear technology. Now they're building long range precision missiles. Back to, once again, spiritual warfare. That's what we're in. There's a veil of deception over people who are in decision-making positions that cannot make – they're not capable of making a logical decision. They can't do the right thing. And secondly, you have evil people that are doing things intentionally, deliberately, and calculated, trying to lead us into this global world system away from nationalism, toward globalism, and away from God. So that's what's going on here. And that's kind of what you got to expect from our policymakers. It's one or the other, too. Veil of deception, and they're deceived. They think they're doing the right thing, but they're just botching it because that's part of our judgment that we're under. And or they're part of the problem and they know it, and they're all happy to be part of this demonically influenced system that's blanketing the world, really. Russia, from the Jerusalem Post, and they're the only ones that's covering this, Russia flies 64 sorties against ISIS targets in Syria in the last 24 hours. Russia's Air Force flew 64 sorties over Syria in the last 24 hours, destroying Islamic State positions, training camps, and ammunition dumps, the Russian Defense Ministry said on Sunday. A total of 63 airstrikes destroyed 53 fortified positions in Syria, Several places mentioned here. Russian military officials also held a second video conference with the counterparts from United States to discuss flight operations over Syria. And also, I got alert from some of our intel folks just a little bit ago, and I didn't drag this into my notes, but one of the head ISIS commanders, ISIS leader al-Baghdadi, wounded. Oh, he was wounded. Three aides killed in bombed convoy. Good job, Russia. Putin for president. Man. Finally, a leader with some guts. All right. The Daily Mail is reporting Turkish forces are said to have shot down a Russian jet after it flew into the country's airspace, according to unconfirmed reports on social media. Rumors of a jet being shot out of the sky come amid heightening tensions between Russian President Vladimir Putin and the West. It's going to be interesting to see how Putin handles that. Pretty unpredictable. He jogs left when you think he's going to go right, and vice versa. So, kind of amusing, huh? Watching what's happening. It's exciting. What an exciting time to be alive. I used to just be sad because I should have been born in the 1880s. You know, during the cowboy days, just the old West. But you know what? There's several times and I wish I would have lived, but the more things develop, I wouldn't want to live in any other time than where we are right now. I mean, in just kind of a sick way. It's just exciting, isn't it? Watching it all unfold right before our eyes. Oh, the rally. This is the ugly part to watch unfold, though, about living in the days that we're living in. But it's all part of it. Down, down, USA, was chanted at the Million Man March in D.C. Right-wing news is reporting that thousands of people were drawn to the Million Man March. Crowds gathered at the Million Man March in Washington, D.C., Million Man in title only. They were led in a down, down, USA chant Saturday morning by a female speaker. Members also of the Congressional Black Caucus spoke. Unlike the first, there is not a push, they're saying, there is not a push to draw 1 million, said Minister Ishmael Muhammad. Good Christian name there. Son of Nation of Islam founder Elijah Muhammad and National Assistant Minister to a National Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan. The theme this time, they said, is justice or else. Justice or else. They want justice. They want to be the ones that defines what justice is as well. And I'll tell you right now, it doesn't matter what you do. You can bend over backwards, you can bend over forwards, and they will never have justice. Matter of fact, Farrakhan... Farrakhan has reportedly called for killing all whites, and he's calling for a national revolt. And this administration is complicit in the division that's taking place in our country. He's done more to cause more division in our country than, well, very few other people. Now, this falls into the it doesn't really matter category, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. The Supreme Court may finally rule on assault weapons bans. This is coming up this week. Now, we are going to follow this. We're going to pay very close attention to this. In the next few days, we may find out whether or not the Supreme Court will take up the appeal in Freedman versus City of Highland Park. The Chicago area city passed a ban on so-called assault weapons a few years ago, and the law has been tied up in the courts since then. This is from hotair.com. There's several websites and news outlets that are covering this. The challenge to the law brought by Ari Freedman and others has been shot down through the appeals process thus far, most recently this past spring in the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. But Given the general disposition of the Supremes on the Second Amendment issues lately, if they agree to hear the case at all, there's a very good chance the law will be going down. So, the justices on Friday were to consider their appeal in Freedman versus City of Highland Park. It's a suburb of Chicago. If they refuse to hear the appeal, the announcement could come as early as Tuesday morning. Such a decision would signal that cities have the authority to restrict high-powered weapons. And, of course, this case law is going to be used not just in cities. It's going to be used all across the country where they're really pushing for bans on combat rifles. But if the justices vote to take up the case, it would put in doubt the constitutionality of laws in other places, including California, that prohibit semi-automatic weapons. So we're going to watch this, but in the end, it doesn't matter. And yesterday I mentioned on the air that there's an article, it's a really good piece, and he points out, the writer points out, that we are one Supreme Court justice vote away from losing the Second Amendment. Because just like they did with marriage and the constitutional amendments of the various states in the United States, they struck it down. So standing on the Second Amendment might not matter at all. All they need is one vote. Each one of these, what he points out, is that all of these cases that where the Supreme Court rules in favor of firearms ownership and firearms freedom, it's always been by one vote. Almost always a 4-5 vote. And that is dangerously close to placing the Second Amendment in jeopardy. We see the direction that our country is going. And we'll, like I said, we'll continue to watch this. What they ultimately decide on doesn't matter. Oh, the Environmental Protection Agency, though, they've spent millions of dollars over the last decade on military-style weapons to arm its 200 special agents to fight environmental crime. Wow, we need some SWAT teams to fight environmental crime. You might be burning an unauthorized wood burning stove. They might have to kick your door down. What else? Might be your carbon footprint's getting too large, or you're capturing rainwater. Yeah, we got to definitely get some. Hopefully, these guys got some MRAPs. I wouldn't want them to get hurt. Among the weapons purchased are guns, body armor, camouflage equipment, unmanned aircraft, amphibious assault ships, radar and night vision gear, and other military-style weaponry and surveillance activities, according to a new report by the watchdog group Open the Books. That was from, where was that from? Washington Times covered that one. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of these sanctuary cities, the continuing Muslim threat to the world, and how that could affect us, and even some things we can do about it. So stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, Fox 519, with the Eye on the Economy coming up right now.
Well, despite what the experts are telling you, the dollar is on its way out, and that there's nothing that you nor I can do about it. Yes, I've been saying this for a long, long time. But now the Chinese have finally fired a shot that everyone should be paying attention to. Hello, everyone. This is Fox 519 here, bringing you the financial news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. A global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits force to endure the powers of darkness which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And again, a very special thank you to my sponsor, Mark Goodwin of the PrepperRecon.com podcast for his sponsorship again via The Economy. Go to Mark's site today and purchase your own personal IFAT kit, as well as a copy of his latest book and the third edition of the Days of Noah series. Great, great read. Well, I can almost guarantee you, the story I'm about to tell you, you have not heard anywhere in the American media. And here it is. The Chinese have gone global with the yuan competition for the dollar. Yes, that's right. The yuan is now a global currency, and I will tell you how. China's central bank has started a global payment system which provides cross-border transactions in yuan. It's called the China International Payment System, or the CIPS or CIPS. It intends the international yuan to challenge the U.S. dollar's dominance worldwide. Now, when asked about this, Helen Wong, the greater chief executive of HSBC, said the following. The establishment of CIPS is an important milestone in the yuan internationalization. It provides the infrastructure that will connect global yuan users through one single system. CIPS will accept payments for cross-border trade, direct investments, financing, and personal remittance. The system is open for operations 11 hours a day, and the first CIPS transaction was completed by the Standard Charter Bank for Sweden's own company, IKEA. 19 banks have currently authorized the use of CIPS, everyone. 8 of them are Chinese subsidiaries of foreign banks, including City Financial, Deutsche Bank, HSBC, and ANZ. This is a monster move by the Chinese, and like I said, you probably didn't hear boo about this in the American media. Now, couple this with the amount of treasuries that China's been selling off, and we have a tremendous storm heading our way. You need to know that the Chinese currency has overtaken the Japanese yen, but it's still well behind the U.S. dollar, euro, and pound. It rivals the dollar on the global financial system, and that's been Beijing's ambition for the yuan since 2010. We all know the country has opened up clearing hubs in London and Frankfurt to move the currency across the globe. But China has been pushing very hard for the inclusion of the yuan in the International Monetary Fund currency basket, and that gained steam back on September 27th of this year when the U.S. agreed to endorse the yuan for the currency basket after China purchased 300 planes from our own Boeing. See, the thing is, fellow patriots and preppers, we understand what China is doing here is focusing on the long term. Devaluation of the currency, purchase of real estate, and the repatriation of islands in the Pacific. They're trying to kill us by death of a thousand cuts. Now, some have asked my opinion on what happened earlier this year with the Chinese currency being devalued. Don't look at it as a devaluation. The way to look at it is that China actually triggered a widespread reevaluation of the dollar. By undermining U.S. export markets, China has effectively taken control of America's interest rate policy from the Fed. China has now showed the world that they, not America, now set the pace for global economy. This is evident in the attitudes of its leadership. For example, I reference a particular speech by General Cao Liang, who is one of China's top military strategists. In his speech 6 months ago, General Cao made an interesting point in his speech. China's Alipay, who is another financial clearinghouse, settled more purchases by value in just one day over China's Valentine holiday last November than all U.S. retail and online outlets over our Thanksgiving holiday. Face it, everyone. The mighty dollar is falling hard. America no longer leads the world economy, and we are being overtaken faster than we can recover. The IOU experiment is failing, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. I would strongly encourage all of you to keep minimal amounts in your bank accounts for the next few weeks, as the world economy is going to be going through some very, very rocky times. Well, thanks again for listening this week, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
All right, Fox 519, thank you for that. This is segment two, brought to you by Katie Armour, and they are redoubting. Katie Armour is exiting Michigan, and they are taking the gap. They are moving their family and the business. It will be an American redoubt-based business here very, very soon. Exciting. Looking forward to getting updates from them. And I need to do some interviews with some of our sponsors to talk about their businesses because I've got a chance to get to know all these guys. And you guys really don't, unless you've used their services and you interact with them. You're like, man, these guys are very cool people. But you don't really get to know them. And they are just some awesome people, awesome patriots, Christian patriots with families. They're real people. You don't think about that. You know, when you think about, you know, when you hear it on the radio, you hear the ad, you know, come on down to Billy's tire shop and get new tires. It's just so sterile. You don't know who Billy the tire guy is, right? But these are just some of the most solid patriots. All of our sponsors are just, they're the coolest people. I always hear about it from people that that call them up to use their services, and I want you guys to get to know them as well. They have done so much to help support Radio Free Readout, and so many of you guys too, also, you know, with your donations, and that's so appreciated. It has really helped us grow and expand, and we're growing all the time. So thank you. Thank you to you guys that just set up, you know, $10 or $20 or $30 a month, you know, the repeating monthly automatic payment. That helps us budget, and gosh, what a blessing. Thank you guys. And also thanks for your prayers and encouragement and your suggestions. Got some pretty good recommendations for some improvements, especially on our commercial broadcast length stuff out. This is new to me. I mean, I've been doing this, what, 5 years? Four, you know, a year on commercial radio? Less than a year on commercial radio. So it's an ongoing growing process. But you can keep those letters coming in at johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. And now, let me finish up with what I was starting to talk about. It was so cool. I mean, the tragedy of this shooting over in Oregon, in Umpqua Community College. And Obama's pounding the pulpit already about how we need to do something about guns. And we can't be praying and thinking about these people. We need more action. He says this should be politicized. Well, that rubbed these people the wrong way. He was met with well over 1,000 protesters in this little tiny town, Roseburg, Oregon, home to some Amron operators as well. And that whole vicinity, there's a lot of Amron operators up and down that corridor. But, it's patriot territory in that area. He was met with hostility, and he really toned down his message, talking about Obama there. They didn't want him there at all. They didn't want him politicizing the deaths of their children, the tragedy that they faced. And then there's so many people in that community that are vocal that the only thing that would have – the reason why they called the police is because they needed good people with guns to be there as soon as possible. Even the security guard was unarmed. So now they're having this ongoing debate about having armed security on the campus. How about just letting anybody who's a law-abiding adult citizen be armed? That's a novel idea. Doesn't have to be a security guard. Okay, since July, you guys know about these sanctuary cities? 41 additional sanctuary cities have popped up across the country since July. And this is really hits home for us in the American Readout because we've got two things going on right now, specifically that are really on the forefront. And that is in Twin Falls, Idaho, where they're trying to bring in this Syrian and Nigerian group of refugees, trying to settle them there. And the community is doing the right thing. They are just swinging back. They're pushing back at this. They're fighting it tooth and nail. The other one is in Spokane, Washington, where the citizenry are, they're vocal. This is vocal all across the world. People are rising up. They're pushing back. They don't want it. Now, it's the city governments, it's the state, and it's the national governments that are pushing this, saying this is such a wonderful thing. These treasonous people are destroying their own cultures, all in the name of coexistence and openness and human rights and all the other deceptive, delusional tactics that they've fallen for or that they just believe in and they're part of the problem. But overseas, once again, Pamela Geller, she's getting these great stories. Syrian refugees complain about slow internet, no cigarettes, and food only fit for a dog or a woman. They're complaining. Sharia, USA. Obama administration bans pork products from federal prisons to accommodate Muslims. And there's a couple of stories breaking this week about the massive Muslim population in our prisons. And I've talked to, you know, some of our listeners, some of you guys that are out there in the listening audience are or have worked in the prison system and have affirmed this. It is a serious problem. The Muslim population that is growing in our federal prisons. And guess what else is being seen in our prisons now? ISIS. ISIS is being cultivated in our federal prisons. You know, the really scary part about that is that there is a historical precedence with tyrannous regimes at a certain point releasing parts of the prison population into the civilian population. And also in the past, they have been used by the regimes as enforcers for policies. Now, I'm not saying our government would do that because, I mean, we're such an advanced culture, you know, but it's happened in the past. So, something to watch for, right? Okay. Now, whether you call this an invasion or colonization, either way, despite what our governments, whether you're in Europe, Canada, whether you're in the United States, no matter where you are, the people don't want any part of it. There are experts that are warning us. And there's one here. I don't have his name, but this is a college professor, university professor at this event talking about the Islamic threat. You've heard much of what he has to say before from me, from Pastor Sharam Hadian, from others that are trying to warn the masses from the rooftops about the danger that we face. But he also highlights a couple of other things, too, that were very unique and interesting that it's coming from a professor, a university professor. And like he said, you know, the stigma is that, if you're a college professor, you're obviously a liberal. I mean, they're all liberal. He says, no, that's not the case at all. He says about 70% of the university professors, college professors, are liberal. They're left-leaning, 70% of them. He said about 25% of them are conservative, and the other 5% are conservative and vocal. And, of course, you know, the 70% that are liberal, they're all vocal. They won't, you know, so, you know, excuse it a little bit. But I want you to listen to what he has to say. Some good stuff. So we'll listen to him, and then we'll come back here in just a minute. Now I'll cap it all off, and we'll go into segment three. It's just about 5 minutes, and it'll be worth your time.
Now, this panel is about radical Islam. I would take the word radical out of the equation. The problem is Islam. As you can hear, I'm not from Florida. I'm from Belgium. I've been living here for 13 years. In 1990, according to the CIA World Factbook, in 1990, there were 29 million Islamic immigrants in Europe. That was 23 years ago. Today, it's almost 55 million. One of the duties of Islam is to conquer foreign land, whether it's through jihad or stealth jihad, what we call civilization jihad. The duty of a true Muslim is to conquer foreign land, to establish a caliphate. A caliphate is a grand Islamic state. So the whole world should become Muslim, and all countries will impose Sharia. And Sharia is a totalitarian lifestyle. It's going to tell you how to dress, the way you talk, the way you walk. Women have fewer rights. They have Sharia in my country. It's not in the constitution, but it's in the schools. They have no-go zones. In Brussels, Belgium, they have no-go zones. A no-go zone is a zone that is occupied by Muslims where even the police are afraid to go. And during Ramadan, the police cannot be spotted eating a sandwich. It's too offensive. So do you get the big picture? Muslims are telling us what to do. I think that prevention is better than cure, and we don't want that in the United States. Now, you've heard of the Cathedral of Cologne. Who knows what I'm talking about, the Cathedral of Cologne? They're building a mosque right next to it that says twice as large and twice as big, next to the Cathedral of Cologne. In England, they have 87 Sharia courts, headed by an Islamic judge, which means that the husband can beat his wife. In the United States, we have no Sharia courts, not yet, unless we take action. There is a movement called ALAC, American Laws for American Courts, and it's a movement that opposes Sharia. Now, it doesn't say Sharia in its bill. It says foreign laws, no foreign laws. Now, the state of Oklahoma made a mistake. They wanted to oppose Sharia, and they said no Sharia law. They were sued by the Supreme Court. So if I were to give you solutions as to what we can do, is basically to have no foreign laws, right? The place to take it is to the local level. The White House has been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood, so the White House is not the way to go. The place to go is to go to the local people. Before 9/11, there were 1,200 mosques in the United States. Today, it's 2,200. This is no coincidence. Even though they killed 3,000 people on that fateful day, they will continue invading our country. Frank, like you said, in our country, it's not so much a wolf, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, what we call stealth jihad, infiltrating our education, infiltrating our cultural system, imposing political correctness and hate crime bills. If they can do it in Europe, if they can do it in Canada, they can do it here. Speaking of Canada, in 2011, they passed a law forbidding anyone criticizing any religion. So you cannot criticize Christianity, Judaism, Islam. If you do, you will be fined. And if you refuse to pay the fine, you'll go to jail. If they can do it in Canada, if they can do it in Europe, they can do it here. Our First and Second Amendments are our last chances to survive. Now, we do have Muslims who are on the fence. The problem is that they're not the problem, but they're not the solution either. A lot of them do not criticize their brothers and sisters who are evil, who are just committing terrorist acts. It's out of fear. In the United States, we do have cultural Muslims, many Muslims who do not want to hurt us. Again, they're not the problem, but they're not the solution either. We are the solution. We are the ones to uphold the principles of our country, to preserve our values. So we are the one to try to be like this church. Just like we have a rise of Islam, we have a demise of Christianity. And this has failed strongly in Europe. In a country like Sweden, in 1900, 90% of the Swedes went to church. Today, it's 3%. In England, where you have the Anglican Church, in 1900, 90% of British went to church. Today, it's 10%. And of course, Muslims are taking over.
So the people are waking up to this. Nobody wants to be Islamized. They don't want to be conquered by Islam. They know it's not just a religion. It is a total system. It is a system designed specifically to orchestrate a takeover, to dominate a culture and to spread Islam at all costs. especially at the cost of the conquered people. And that's what's happening across Europe. The people don't want it, but the government does. In fact, Merkel, the people are protesting this. Merkel comes in over in Germany, and she says, "This is despicable. The neo-Nazis," of course they point that out, protesting, you know, these refugees, what they call asylum seekers. They're really invaders. And she says, and the families who supported them, the neo-Nazis. So what the truth is these are not just a bunch of neo-Nazis with a couple of families tagging along with the protest group. These are your run-of-the-mill Joe citizen in Germany or Sweden or Belgium or France or England. It goes on and on. Hungary is not putting up with it at all. But in Croatia, in Austria, all these places, people are protesting. In fact, they feel like they've been left with no recourse because their treasonous governments are facilitating the invasion. And so people are becoming increasingly violent. And in the United States, citizens don't want it where they are. You're seeing this strong, strong pushback by the people. Does our government care? Do they listen? No. That's when you have no recourse. That's when people do desperate things because you've placed them in a desperate situation. When you're not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people anymore. When you override the people's will and you force an invading culture onto them, when everybody else sees what's going on, they see it for what it is. They know that it's a threat to their very existence, their culture, their well-being, their language, their way of life, their heritage. Everything is on the line, is being sold out by, well, this administration and all of the useful idiots that's helping to get the job done. Now, in Dearborn, Michigan, which is a stronghold of a Muslim, I mean, it is a Muslim stronghold where they obviously occupy. This is the Dearborn, Michigan is the same place where Christians went down to hold signs during a Palestinian pro-Muslim rally proclaiming the gospel of Christ, and they got taken off the street by the police for agitating the crowd, for causing a disturbance. Christians were removed and the Muslims were protected while the Christians are being assaulted and having things thrown at them and threatened. So we're in trouble, aren't we? We're in trouble in all kinds of ways. Now, remember what I've been saying and what I said earlier this year and what I said, five years ago, from the beginning. I'm observing all of this happening in our country and I'm thinking, you know what? The further and further away we get away from our Christian roots, our Christian values, our Christian heritage, and we turn against God, He's going to turn us over at some point, just like He's done with in the past. And it clearly says in His Word, He's going to turn us over to our enemies. They are going to occupy, and we will go into bondage. So what you're seeing here, potentially with this Muslim threat, is the way that the Lord is going to turn us over to our enemies. Remember this summer when we were talking about this series of Supreme Court rulings, and the one in particular, the homosexual marriage ruling that the Supreme Court ruled, that was what several people, very respected, known, influential people, said in some speeches, and they nailed it. They used a specific term. They said, what happened this week with the Supreme Court ruling, this was back in July, was a tectonic shifting in our country. That means the very foundation underneath the surface, our foundation shifted in the United States. It just forever sealed our fate and our future. And now come the consequences. So we can stand up against Islam. We can stand up, and I believe we should. It's evil. However, if they are being used as part of God's judgment to turn us over to our enemies, you cannot fight and win. They will prevail. God gave victory to the Babylonians or to the Syrians or even to the Philistines. At various different points, he used Israel's enemies, not because they were great guys or they were better than God's people, but he was using those people for a time, for a season, as part of the judgment. So if you go against this, you could be going up against God's judgment, which means you're going to lose. So this is why I saw this coming years. I'm not a prophet. I'm not even pretending to be. I'm just watching everything unfold, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, this is our future. And I don't see a way out. If we don't take back America, if we don't do all the things, we're doing exactly the opposite of what we should be doing to restore America. We need to take back America. We're not taking it back. We're doing everything as a nation, everything possible to further solidify the death of this republic, which is not even a republic anymore. In fact, it's not even a constitutional republic anymore. We only use the Constitution as a nation when it suits this globalist leftist agenda, and it's twisted. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. So fight for the Constitution? Doesn't matter. They're going to take away the Constitution? Doesn't matter. We're going to fight for the Constitution? Won't matter. It won't matter if the Constitution doesn't matter to them. So we'll talk more about that in just a second. Stay right there. We'll wrap up right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. In the Spokesman Review editorial section, I noticed a disturbing article entitled, Persecuted Church Should Know Better. The author claimed members of the Pilgrim Slavic Baptist Church, many of whom escaped from communist Russia in the 1980s, were persecuting homosexuals by merely holding signs outside of their downtown church building urging rejection of Referendum 71 and same-sex marriage. So let me get this straight. Christians are doing the persecuting by holding signs. The fact is, it's the Christians being persecuted. Many members of Pilgrim Slavic Church suffered firsthand for being Christians under communist rule in Russia. Some were jailed, tortured, had property destroyed, and were accosted just for being a Christian. So they came to the United States, the land of the free, or so they thought. The fact is, since the campaign to reject Referendum 71 started, those same refugees from communist tyranny have had rocks thrown through their windows, property stolen, and their children yelled at in the foulest language imaginable by members of the homosexual community. I spoke with their pastor, and he confirmed those reports. But it hasn't stopped there. The two leaders of the Referendum 71 effort, Larry Stickney and Gary Randall, have both received death threats. The fact is, everywhere same-sex marriage is implemented, the story is identical. Harassment, intimidation, and persecution of Christians follows. This has happened in Sweden, British Columbia, Alberta, New Jersey, New Mexico, and California, just to name a few. The message is clear: support homosexual behavior or suffer the consequences. The fact is, everywhere same-sex marriage has been allowed, it is used to justify the persecution of people of faith. And protecting religious liberty is just another benefit of rejecting R71. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for sticking around for segment 4 of episode 1533. Don't forget to check out 419systems.com. That is the Prepper's Assistant, a software program for organizing your preps, for your rotation of your food storage, for locating all of the stuff that's in your food storage, especially if you're in multiple different locations, your bug out routes, your inventory at various different locations, including your rotation dates for food, for water, all of it. It's just a great organization tool. Go to 419systems.com to learn more. Now, segment 4 is brought to you by Works.com, and I want to thank you, thank Works, W-E-R-K-Z. They make custom Kydex type style holsters and magazine pouches for both inside and outside the waistband concealed carry. And they are an American Redoubt owned and operated business as well, and their lead time's less than 2 weeks, and they have a lifetime guarantee. They also stepped up to help sponsor us over at the Commercial Radio Project on KTW and the American Christian Network, so I'm very grateful to them for stepping up, and they make a great product. Good folks. All right, let's see here. Let's talk about the Constitution. I want to go back to the founders' quotes to talk about the foundation of this country. We have to identify – this is so hard. These guys that founded this country, the founders, were a product of 200 years of Christian education. They knew English law, they knew scripture, and they knew how it all tied in. They had such a foundation that we are just in catch-up mode to get up to the level of understanding that they were at when it came to liberty, when it came to dealing with tyranny. We have a much more sophisticated and complex tyranny today. But the principles still apply. But when I said the Constitution, fighting for the Constitution doesn't matter, it's what I mean is, I took an oath to defend and protect the Constitution, and I do all that I can, but there are people with power beyond my reach that snuff it out with the stroke of a pen. They violate our Constitution in ways that I've lost count. We've articulated before, we've posted things showing other examples, and there's other, you know, constitutional experts that have pointed out the violations of our law of the land. So we're still clinging to the Constitution. Well, for them, it's irrelevant. And this is all done through manipulation. Samuel Adams said, "How strangely will the tools of a tyrant pervert the plain meaning of words." Isn't that true? Just like Let's see here. Let me find an example. Shall not be infringed. Let's take the Second Amendment. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, what they mean is, look, if you register your firearm and you still have access to a firearm, it might not be the one you want, but at least, hey, a bolt action rifle is a firearm, and we're not denying your right to that. We're not infringing on that. You can have that as soon as your background check and your waiting period and all your extra taxes and your safety class and all this stuff's over with, then you can have it. We're not infringing. Of course, in the meantime, you're disarmed and they can take it from you anytime they want. But how, or look, you don't need that because nobody hunts a deer with that type of rifle, right? It's very plain how strangely will the tools of a tyrant pervert the plain meaning of words. And it's true. He also said the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. Well, that was his will and that was his vision, but the Constitution has been construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. Now, in the American Redoubt, it's a very well-heeled area. I mean, when you go to a rally, you go to some patriot event, or you go camping, you go up in the mountains, you go, you know, wherever, you see people with combat rifles slung over their shoulder. It's a common sight. Maybe not in town, unless it's a, you know, specifically a Second Amendment rally or something like that. But hey, at the Second Amendment rally that we attended a couple weeks ago, in the city park, downtown, Coeur d'Alene, right by the beach, by the lake, families are out and about picnicking, kids are playing, kids are skateboarding, and there's 200 people there with at least 30 or 40 combat rifles and handguns carried openly. Nobody even blinked. I'm sure there's some newly relocated California transplants that did a double take and said, oh my gosh, but you try that in Chicago, you try that in New Jersey, you're going to have a SWAT team coming down on top of you. But see, there are definitely pockets where the Constitution doesn't matter. And who was it that said, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Because people are not remaining silent. But see, here's another thing too. If the Supreme Court rules that yes, governments can restrict so-called assault rifles, and these laws start coming, it won't matter. It doesn't matter. It cannot matter. Because at this point, since they're willing to destroy the Constitution, we don't even need to stand on the Constitution. It is an inalienable right that we stand on. And matter of fact, you might not even be able to appeal then. We have them just because we want them, because we don't want to be disarmed one day. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter what the Constitution used to say before they threw the Second Amendment out. What matters is we, knowing history, can never allow ourselves to be debarred the use of arms. We cannot let ourselves be disarmed. Because of the abundant pleas of those who have gone before us and endured tyrannous regimes, have begged for us to learn from their example and never to allow ourselves to become to be disarmed. We cannot. It doesn't matter. I mean, if the Supreme Court makes a ruling one way or the other, that's nice. That's sweet. It doesn't matter. You cannot stop worshiping your God. Even if your Bible is deemed hate speech. And they want you to have a state-approved, all-inclusive version. And all previous versions are hate speech. And you face fines. You face jail. You face charges of being in possession of hate crime material. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter if there's a Constitution or not. At this point forward, it doesn't matter. Because they're not following the Constitution. They're giving our country over to foreign cultures. They've blown our borders wide open. They're elevating and giving preference to invaders over United States citizens. They refuse to protect our borders. They're giving more rights to non-citizens than they are protecting the rights of those who are citizens. And then they say this: all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Thomas Jefferson. But wait! This is the latest tactic of the liberal left. Oh, you guys quote this. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold for people to do good conscience and remain silent. Thomas Jefferson didn't say that. He didn't? No. Matter of fact, if you go to the Monticello Institute, which has all of the historical records of all quotes of our founding fathers and presidents and everything all the way down, they will tell you there is no documentation whatsoever that Thomas Jefferson ever said those words. Here's another one by Thomas Jefferson. The Bible is the source of liberty. Oh, stop there, Christian patriot. You're saying Thomas Jefferson said that? Well, according to all historical accounts, there's not been any evidence found in any writings of Thomas Jefferson proving that he said the Bible is the source of liberty. He didn't. Well, what about this one? When government fears the people, there is liberty. And when the people fear government, there's tyranny. Wait, Thomas Jefferson never said that. Who said it then? Well, we don't know. We have different people saying different variations of something sounds similar, but there is no proof that Thomas Jefferson ever said that. Oh, it must not be true then. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. When government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. You know what? It doesn't matter who said it. It's the truth. But see, this is how they, this is the tactics they try to undermine our heritage by saying, whoa, Thomas Jefferson never said that. Thomas Paine never said that. Samuel Adams never said that. People that we often quote, there's like 10 or 12 quotes that the liberals are quick to jump on and say, he never actually said that. Does it change anything? Does it matter that Thomas Jefferson said that? It doesn't. Guess what? I just said it. I'll take credit for it. Or you take credit for it. Any John Jacob Schmidt out there, any listener out there, you can say it. When government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. There, quote me on that. I just said it. It's the truth. You know what else is the truth? The Bible is the source of liberty, because liberty comes from Christ. Without Christ, there is no liberty. No lasting liberty comes without Christ. So there, and Christ is the Word. So, you can quote me on that. The Bible is the source of liberty. Oh, Thomas Jefferson never said that. It doesn't matter. It's the truth. I don't care who you credit with it. Anybody you hear say that, quote them. And you use the quotation. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Thomas Jefferson never said that. Really? I just said it. Quote me. It's the truth. But they try to take these truths away because there's no documentation proving that Thomas Jefferson said it. Well, Thomas Jefferson doesn't need to say it. And some people say, oh, I just wish the founding fathers were here today. You know what? It doesn't matter if they're here or not. They gave us some great quotes. And apparently there's some great quotes out there that are attributed to some of them that they can't prove that they actually said. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the founding fathers said. What kind of America do you want? Citizen? Patriot? It doesn't matter what arguments they gave for having guns. What do you want? Oh, so-and-so wasn't actually a Christian. He said such and such. He was a deist. Matter of fact, he talked down on religion. He says that all religion is just like the scourge of society. Whatever, they'll point that to one or two different founding fathers. You know what? It doesn't matter. I don't care what he said. What do I say? What do you say? What kind of America do you want and you're willing to fight for today, right now? Who cares what somebody said 230 years ago? I believe in the principles of the Constitution. I believe that it's been perverted. I believe that all liberty does come from Christ. I do believe in liberty and Americanism and our Christian heritage. I believe in those things, and I'm willing to fight for them. I don't care who said them, who didn't say it. I don't care what a judge strikes down or says this applies or this doesn't. And if it's in violation of the highest authority, God's authority, I'm going to oppose it. It doesn't matter what some so-called constitutional – look, Obama is a so-called constitutional expert. He became an expert in the Constitution so he could figure out how to dismantle it. That's what Marxists do. So, you know what? It doesn't matter if they think that we should have Muslims in our community. What kind of a community do we want? It doesn't matter if they call us, if they call it hate speech. It doesn't matter if they call us intolerant. Our existence is on the line. We cannot care. It cannot matter what they think of us or what they say about us. It cannot matter what type of, how many lives they try to convince us it's going to save if they disarm us. It can't matter. You've got to stick to truth. You have to hold to that truth. No matter what they say, no matter how they try to sell it to you, you've got to stand firm. Well, there's several other things I wanted to cover, but I did enough damage here. You guys pray about it. You know in your spirit what they're telling you is wrong. You know they're twisting and they're manipulating. It's un-American, everything they're trying to sell to us. Don't stop being shocked. Don't become numb to this. Stay angry, righteously angry. Resist evil. Don't be rebellious, but resist evil. And anything trying to take down our American heritage is evil, in my book. Any culture which comes to dominate ours and purge out our Christian heritage is evil. Anybody that wants to make an argument for how many lives it'll save if we just give up our guns, start by registering them, it doesn't matter. It cannot matter. There is some things that do matter. And that's that you hold to these truths. You hold to your faith. You hold to the principles that made our nation exceptional. You hold to your faith. You hold to the principles in the Constitution. There are so many rights that they are violating that are not in the Constitution. Just like our founding father said, these Bill of Rights are by no means conclusive. And it doesn't matter if they strike things from our Constitution or add things to the Constitution that are in violation of the highest authority. The law of the land has to be your conscience if you are a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot. Anyway, guys, you have a blessed week. I hope I gave you some stuff to think about. And continue to support us in prayer and stay in touch. I am behind on some emails, and I got to go back through and dig those out of the mountain of emails. So if you emailed me and you're hoping to get a response, ask a question or something like that, shoot me a reminder. That help. That's the most helpful. Waving your hands in front of me, staying in front of me is really super helpful. So that's all I got, guys. You have a blessed week. Next week, we are going to be talking about, well, several other things. I think I'm going to start talking about Stasi, and we're going to start talking more about resistance. So get ready to take notes. And I might make this a two or three different part series on resistance, because we need to start thinking about these things. We have been thinking about them. We've been talking about them, but we need to continue with this discussion, and we will do that next week. And I'm going to, I almost forgot. I'm going to be meeting with some people this week. You know, the audio file that professor that I just had you listen to in the last segment, I'm going to be meeting with some folks to talk about specific actions that we can take, like passing laws, like he said, U.S. laws only. Passing a law that only U.S. laws will apply. Defunding sanctuary cities. Language requirements. American heritage laws requiring the protection of our American heritage. Hiring practices, like put Americans to work first. They take precedence. Maybe even foreign employment impact fees, whatever. I'm going to be talking to some lawyers and some lawmakers, and we are going to be developing some strategies instead of following the lead of others, hopefully be leading and setting the example for different solid strategies that we can start implementing. If you guys got other ideas or things that you have implemented in your communities or you've seen in your states or your counties, your legislators have tried to push through, shoot those to me, because I'll take those. We'll present them. We need to go on the offensive. We know from past performance, when patriots go on the offensive, we gain ground. All right. When we don't, we lose ground. So, it's pretty exciting. Lots of stuff going on behind the scenes, and, it's just really cool. So you guys be blessed, and we'll talk next week. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.